fu una caduta senza precedenti.
Io voglio essere semplicemente Maradona.
Fútbol es el juego del engaño.
Podía hacer nada contra la camorra.
That's the time when everything starts to go wrong.
Asif Kapadia, welcome to the Screen Show.
Thanks, great to be on.
He's an interesting figure now, of course, Diego Maradona, because he in many ways is someone who I think is quite comfortable in his skin. I think what's so powerful about this portrait and some of the images that you have managed to source of him off the playing field is that there's an awkwardness which comes partly from the fact that he's, you know, a young man and a very young man at certain stages of this documentary. But there's also this sense that he's not quite comfortable in the position he's in the sort of spotlight he's in. He's very comfortable on the pitch, of course, but he's not comfortable with the sort of pressures exerting themselves on him. Did it emerge quite quickly or quite early on in the process of editing the film and putting it together that there was this theme visually of these shots that did kind of seem to express a certain awkwardness?
Yeah, there's a vulnerability to him, which, you know, when you think about Diego Maradona, it's not really normally a word that comes to mind, but you realise when you do your research that everyone's changed by success and by fame, and he definitely has a confidence when he's on the pitch. He grows up, he looks like a mature adult, and then he walks off the pitch, particularly in the early years in Argentina or even in Barcelona, and almost when he first goes to Naples in Napoli 1984, where he looks like a young kid. And then suddenly something happens when he's on the pitch and he's the leader and he's the man. And I'm always interested in seeing that because you realize that you have a persona of these characters, watching them on TV, watching them celebrate, watching them get angry or, you know, arguing with the referee or other players. But actually, they're not really like that. They're a different person. He's quite shy. He didn't have an education. He had to learn as he was going along. And I found that really powerful and quite emotional, actually. At times, he looks like a lost kid, you know, because in a way, he was. He's 21, 22, 23 years old. He hasn't really figured out who he is, but he's adored and famous because of what he can do with his left foot. But it doesn't mean he's been able to learn how to deal with the world. And I guess that's a bit of a theme that runs through the three films, Senna, Amy, and Diego Maradona, this idea of they're all geniuses, they're all brilliant. They became successful very young. But a problem with becoming successful very young is you're not necessarily formed as a person, as a character. You've not suffered down, you know, downturns or people kind of saying no to you. And it becomes very difficult to manage success later on in life.
Well, there's a wonderful image of him. Well, it's an image that emerges within the context of an early interview. And he's wearing this quite outlandish fur coat. And I don't remember seeing this interview before, but it's a wonderful image because he looks about as comfortable as a sort of kid wearing his father's suit or something. There's something slightly ridiculous, and that to me speaks volumes about where he's at that point in his life, that sort of awkwardness, that sort of unease with self-image almost, and of course all the money. I mean, the fur coat always symbolizes money in a sense. It's a wonderful image.
Yeah, I guess what people didn't realize, and what I didn't realize until I started making the film, was how poor his kind of origins are. You know, he really did come from a slum or a shanty town or a favela type place. You know, there were 7, 8 of them at one point of his family living in a shack. No running water, no electricity, on the outskirts of Buenos Aires in a place called Villafurito, a really tough, rough place. And so to go from that in a matter of years, a couple of years, to becoming one of the most famous people in Latin America and then Europe and one of the richest and, you know, considered the best player in the world. So suddenly he had a lot of money, he had a lot of fame. He took his family out of the ghetto and put them in a home for the first time where they had a door key even. He started off with nothing and suddenly he's got money and he's trying to show it off. But there's still this vulnerable kind of innocent character underneath it, I guess. And because you've got to remember, he didn't have an education. I think that was a part of it. It does at times feel like an episode of Miami Vice or Scarface or something like that, where you've just got all of the ideas of 80s Italy, particularly in Naples. So you've got cocaine, cars, women, you know, gold, shiny things. I think that's all part of his life.
When you met him to do the, you know, current day interviews that are part of an integral part of this documentary, were you ever suspicious or even just anxious that he wouldn't be telling you the whole story? I mean, I guess this happens with anyone you interview, but what was the sort of unspoken bond that you managed to build with him between interviewer and interviewee?
So I've now met Diego Maradona about maybe 5 or 6 times, actually, over the full period of it. And at the beginning, I had no idea who I was going to meet. I didn't know what was left of him, to be honest. You know, I didn't know if he had a memory of those times. I didn't know if he would be a friendly person to be in the presence of, or he was quite angry. But, you know, so you have all these rumors, having seen bits and pieces of him on social media, on the news or something. But actually, I found him to be very charming, very clear, very witty, and intelligent, and I liked him. The issue is always, well, okay, I'm forensically looking at a period of time in the early 80s when he arrived in Naples, which is a long time ago for anyone, but definitely if you've led a life like Diego Maradona and, you know, had the ups and downs that he's had. He's been ill quite a lot. He's been pronounced dead a few times, and then he comes back and has a TV series or something, you know. So the memory is good, but it's almost like when you've asked someone the same story, if they have a set answer, and my challenge is always to go past the set answer and to get a bit deeper to find out what was really going on, and I absolutely tried my best to do.
How do you do that? Have you got any techniques that you'd like to share with me?
Well, actually, you know, what we're doing right now, I'm a big fan of radio. I'm a big fan of the kind of honesty that comes out of two people talking when it's just a microphone.
Yeah.
And not bringing a crew and camera. So I don't take an entourage because I want to get away from his entourage. I don't want it to be 15 people around. So it sometimes looks like a bit of a letdown when someone comes in and it's just that you've only got a microphone. But for me, there's the power in kind of less is more. So I brought it down to just the three of us in a room. In his living room, he sat on his sofa. He's in a very comfortable space. And we just talk. Somewhere out of that, I'm kind of gently leading him back to certain places when he goes up. I ask him a question about his son that he didn't recognize for 30 years. And he would give me an amazing, brilliant answer about Sepp Blatter. And I'd be like, that's great, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about you and your family. So sometimes it was kind of getting a bit annoying for him to be interrupted. He's not used to being interrupted mid-flow, but I would interrupt him. And it was just getting him to the place where I'm going to push and nudge and go back to things that he may not feel comfortable talking about. But therefore, we've got him talking about his kids. We've got him talking about women. We've got him talking about his drug addiction and how he lived a typical week when he was at his peak in Naples and how much he was going out and doing the drugs whilst playing football for, you know, Napoli. But also his relationships and with the underworld at the time, which was a pretty serious thing, which played a big part in his downfall, I would say.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a very operatic arc to this story. And it's interesting you stop where you do. I mean, obviously you can't, it would be impossible to talk about his whole life, but were you always thinking this was the period, the golden period and the demise of that golden period in Italy through the 80s and into the early 90s? Was this always your goal, or did it sort of emerge as the shape of the story as you edited it?
I've researched everything, to be honest. We researched the beginnings, the kind of early years in Argentina, playing for Boca Juniors, going to Barcelona, and then right the way through to, you know, the film was 45 minutes before we got to Naples, and it was half an hour after he left Naples at one point. And it was all great. It was all really interesting, but it was just too long. And I did want to try to make it a movie. I didn't want to make this as a TV series. There was something about the idea of almost it being a trilogy of films with Senna and Amy. So we had to make some really tough decisions. And the bigger story, his life is a series of kind of repetitions, actually. He will go somewhere. There'll be a lot of hope. He'll do something brilliant. It all goes wrong. He ends up as a disaster. He leaves. And that cycle continues through his life everywhere he goes. But the biggest cycle was always Napoli. And when we just looked at a film, and I screen long versions of the films to different people and friends and filmmakers, fellow filmmakers, just to see how it plays. And whatever we did, it was Napoli was the story. That's where he comes in at a real low point, becomes the best player in the world, wins the World Cup, wins championships with a team that's never won before. But all of his problems, many of which he's still dealing with right now, all started in Naples. Before that, he may well have tried drugs, but they were never really a problem. He wasn't an addict. By the time he left, he's very different.
Yeah.
He never really lived anywhere for 7 years. You know, that's the longest he stayed put since he left Argentina as a child.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? Look, you haven't just made documentaries with archival footage. You've done other things. You've made narrative features. But this particular style of documentary storytelling that you do with archival footage, no traditional narration, you've been very successful at it. Where does this style come from? How did you come to it as a filmmaker?
It's a really interesting question, actually, because it all comes from the experience of the projects that I've done previously. Because I come from a fiction background, because I've written and directed movies and very visual movies, I came into documentaries quite late, and my aim was to try to make them as cinematic as possible, to make them for the big screen. And for me, that meant not starting with an interview necessarily on camera and finding footage to visualize it, but actually starting with images. How do I tell this story with pictures? How do I tell this story at the time in the present and not have someone looking back on their life necessarily? Which, you know, everyone has a different style, but my style always came, starting with Senna, I felt, having looked at all of the material at Ayrton Senna and being a big sport fan, nothing beats showing the material at the time as if you're watching something live. And that was my instinct. And I couldn't interview Senna. Therefore, I didn't want to create a film based around the interviews of Alain Prost and all of his rivals and everyone else. I wanted Senna to narrate his own life story. And I wanted to just see whether it was possible. So I come from a fiction background. I've written screenplays. So I treat them like movies. And I try to crew up with people who make feature films, people I've worked with for years. And the idea is to treat a documentary just to the same technical standards and narratively to play the same rules and the tricks as you would on a fiction film.
The difference with the fiction film, though, being that you can't go out and shoot what you want. It's already just, you've got to use what's there. Was that a difficult transition?
Time. You have to have time in order to find the imagery, and it is a bit of a mosaic and a jigsaw puzzle where you have no idea where in the world the pieces are or whether they exist at all. But a lot of it comes from having the time to rewrite the story with the amazing footage you do find. And I'm quite good at kind of pushing my crew and my team to say, keep looking, that's not good enough. I think we can find something else. And we need something a bit like this at this point of act one, let's just call it, in order to give him a little bit of a lift. I need a humorous scene here. So you're almost conducting or directing it, and then you find material. And so we edit, we're writing, editing, shooting, doing interviews all at the same time, as opposed to the fiction way where you write a script, raise the money, cast it, shoot it, and edit it. We start by editing, and the edit can go on for 3-4 years. Senna, we took 5 years to make us. Amy and Diego Maradona have each been about 3 years. And, you know, there's a lot quicker ways to make documentaries, but the idea is to somehow have an impact, and hopefully an emotional impact with the films, that comes out of seeing the real person doing things and just having the time and the patience to keep looking. So often people I meet will say, no, I don't want to be anything to do with the film, I'm not interested. So it's about building up trust. On Amy, nobody wanted to speak to me. Nobody wanted to know because they were still in pain because Amy Winehouse had only recently died. But I felt there was some truth that needed to come out about her life and who she was and also what happened to her. And a lot of people, she was a cheap joke. People made fun of her and humiliated her. And I felt this film could somehow tell us who she really was. And that became a bit of a battle. And however long it takes for people to open up and speak to me, I'm willing to wait. And so the friends, Nick Szymanski, Juliette Lauren, who speak at the beginning of the film, they spoke to me sometimes, you know, it took a year for them to build up the courage to talk. But once they did, you have that raw emotion in the film.
Well, the proof is in the pudding, as they say, and all three films are just such powerful works, I think, and speaks volumes. The amount of time you put into it really does come up in the end with, quite remarkable results.
Thanks. I mean, Maradona's a really tricky character to get close to, you know. The other two are quite open at certain points to speak about their kind of feelings. Amy, through her lyrics, Senna was very eloquent when he gave his interviews. Diego Maradona's life has always been, as he says in the film, football is a game of deceit. Well, his life has almost been a game of deceit, actually. He will say one thing or do one thing and then absolutely privately be doing the opposite. So to get to know someone like him, to get him to open up, it was a real challenge. Also, not speaking Spanish and Italian for me was a big challenge because, you know, we're in London. He was in Dubai at the time, Diego Maradona. The story takes place in Naples, but most of the key contributors lived in Buenos Aires. So this became a huge, epic kind of endeavor to get it all together, really.
And has he seen it?
Not yet. I mean, a bit like the very first meeting that it took us a week just to get to say hello for 5 minutes. The end of our kind of experience of working together has been similar, where wherever I tried to show him the film, he was busy or traveling, or whether he was not interested in seeing the film or whether he was worried about seeing it.
I wonder if he's worried. I wonder if there's a... Yeah, I wonder if there's a certain vanity, maybe for want of a better word.
Yeah, I think more and more I've kind of leant towards that because, you know, it becomes... We could have worked it out. We could have shown him the film, but he was busy. Right now, he's not well, to be honest.
Mm.
We tried everything, including the kind of insane idea that I had of, you know, if we can get into Cannes Film Festival, he'll come to Cannes. It'll be amazing to have him at the premiere, but he wasn't able to come to that either. So the film will open in September in Latin America, in Argentina, and I will go there and I will try to do the way we worked. I hopefully will go to his home, we'll sit down together and we'll press play. And I'm sure at certain points I'll have to pause, we'll have a conversation and we'll continue. But I think it would be important for him to watch this film and to see, you know, the great things that he achieved, but also some of the mistakes perhaps that he made. And let's see if he's willing to kind of look back on them and admit he's ever made a mistake. What's interesting about this process of making these films with archive is I spend a lot of time just looking at the faces of my characters and looking at their eyes, because when the footage comes in, it's not dated. So I don't know when it's from. I don't know. And you have to guess. You just look at their eyes. You look at a haircut with Maradona. You look at their body shape and their face and say, is that 84? Is that 87? Is that 1991? And you become quite good at guessing and reading their when they're telling the truth, when they're happy, when they're lying. And with Maradona, there was a definite turning point in his eyes when the light seemed to go. And it coincided with him winning the World Cup, coming back to Naples after winning the World Cup in 86. But that is the point when he decides to lie about his son. And something changes in him. So I would say after 86, even though he's succeeding in Naples and winning the Scudetto, the championship the following year in 87, something has gone because he decides to lie about the boy that he has had in Naples. And that lie, I think, grows and grows and grows and eats away inside of him. And that's really when his drug addiction starts. That's when he starts taking drugs and drinks and does all this stuff in order to numb the pain of what he knows is the truth, which is he wants a kid. He's very Latin. He wants a son. He wants his son to be called Diego. His grandmother was called Diego. His father was called Diego. I'm Diego. My children will be called Diego. My grandchildren will be called Diego. And he had the boy in Naples and decides to lie about it. And that, for me, is a turning point. And a bit like with Amy, at the height of her success is when her problems really begin. With Diego, it's the same. He wins the World Cup, wins the championships, but that's where his problems start. And so everything that you see, I think, after 86, 87, there's something not right with Diego Maradona. There's something that's changed within him, and he's lost the kind of lightness and innocence of youth. And so it's interesting, if people saw him after that, I think you will have seen a version of Diego Maradona, which is not the pure kind of innocent, vulnerable one that we see when he arrives in Naples.
Yeah, and fascinating, all in the eyes. So there's the real turning point, kind of core of your film, isn't it? You see it in the eyes.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And you that's what happens. That's a big part of the process, and that's the kind of... It's filmmaking, it's detective work, it's kind of psychology. There's all of these elements that come together. And a lot of it is like an investigation or it's quite journalistic. But then you have to find a way to express it and show it. And that's where the kind of the art and the filmmaking comes into it. But the first section is just about meeting people one-to-one and getting them to open up and tell you what's going on. Then I've got to find a shot. My editor, Chris King, fantastic, has got to find a shot that visualizes a concept. It may be the shot has come from the other side of the world and it's from another moment in time, but it tells you what we're trying to say.
Well, Asif Kapadia, your film does speak volumes, and I thank you for it. It is currently screening in cinemas in Australia. It's called Diego Maradona. Thanks very much for speaking to me about it on The Screen Show.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
Asif Kapadia, the Academy Award-winning director of Diego Maradona. I really do recommend you go along and see it.